We are reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 12. We're beginning verse 1. 3?
Corinthians, right?
What did I say? Well, we could read 2 Thessalonians too if you want to, but it doesn't have 12 chapters. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That's right. That's exactly what I meant. I have a cold, so I can always, if I misparse something, I can blame it on that, right? So, yeah, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. And we're about actually to get to a more well-known part of 2 Corinthians. 10 and 11, and I'm not sure they even show up much in the lectionary. And But what's going on, of course, is that Paul is taking on the some of the opponents in Corinth who are boasting in a kind of a normal way, whereas he is determined to boast only in his weaknesses, which, of course, is easier said than done. But in order to show that, he's been setting up, you know, back in, if you just glance back at chapter 11, verse 22, you know, I'm a Hebrew, I'm an Israelite, I'm of the seed of Abraham, I'm a servant of Christ. So, you know, I'm all these things and more, but that's not what counts, right? What counts is our weakness in Christ's provision, if I can say it that way. So he's kind of in the middle of that discussion. And so we'll pick up at verse 1 of chapter 12. And forgive the cold, and I'll try not to breathe on anybody, either in the internet or on in person. So, something like this. Kaukasthai de, us imferon men, eliusima de, eis aptazias, kai apokalypses kyriu. So there's our little friend, day, which is quite an important word in the Gospels, especially in Luke, where it is necessary for Jesus to do things. It's very often a salvation word, if I could say it that way. And whenever you see day, you'll almost always see an infinitive with it. And the infinitive is actually the it of it is necessary. In English, we kind of translate it is necessary that I boast, or it is necessary to boast. But you could actually render it, to boast is necessary. Okay. So again, he's playing along with them, and it's kind of ironic and something like that. So, to boast is necessary. Now, u simferon men, we have men de, you can see the de, two words later. Simferon is a participle from simfero, which means, to, among other things, to profit. And what we probably have here is this little, it's a participle, it's probably a present participle active, neuter, singular, nominative. And believe it or not, it's probably assuming an impersonal construction with amen. So you're probably supposed to supply estin. It is not beneficial. If you look down at the variant readings, actually, at the bottom of the page, if you can find it, it's a little bit hard to spot, but under chapter 12, verse 1, it's in the third line. You can see that, maybe see that manuscript D in 81 read usimfere, which is a present indicative. It is not helpful, or it is not beneficial. And then DHC 1881, etc., actually add moi, so it is not beneficial to me. So again, the text is read as a participle, but Greek will actually do this to get these sort of, again, they're impersonal constructions. It is lawful. We're going to see that in just a minute, actually. It is beneficial. So they just throw a neuter participle at you, and you're supposed to supply the linking verb. So on the one hand, it is not beneficial, presumably to me. But on the other hand, he says, eleusimai, I will go. This is just the friend from erchomai. It's the future indicative middle deponent of erchomai. I will go, and we might even translate it, I will go on, into Aptazias' visions, accusative plural, and apocalypses, revelations of the Lord. So presumably revelations that come from the Lord or something like that. And here's where we get these kind of cryptic comments coming up in the next couple of verses about earlier sort of visionary experiences that Paul had, direct revelations, that kind of thing. But grammatically, that's kind of how it runs. Yeah, apokalypsis is kind of a funny term. It's actually a third declension noun. So the I think the nominative plural would look the same as the accusative plural. This would be accusative after ace. Questions? Like, why do we have to start school again on January 3rd? Or anything? Yeah, that was a good sermon. And he gave us Jesus at the end, even without much giving us Jesus. So I thought that was good. You can get away with that in a seminary chapel. Can't get away with that at Wrath of God Lutheran Church, Bill, where you are going to be called. Okay, verse 2. Oida antroman en Christo, pra eton decatesaron, eta en somati uk oida, eta ektas tu somatas uk oida. Now I'm going to stop there. Oh, no, I guess I'll keep going. But I'm going to ignore that next comma. Hatha as oiden harpagenta tan toi uton haos tritu uranu. So you probably recognize our friend oida. It's actually a perfect form. It has a present indicative meaning, I know. It's a vocab word. I know a man in Christ. Now, literally, before years 14. But this little phrase can actually mean ago. So 14 years ago. All right. Now, eta, whether this or that. It's a common pairing. So whether in the body, I do not know. Or ektos, here is a preposition that means outside of. Whether outside of the body, I do not know. So, you know, he's being a little cryptic here. Like, what kind of an experience was this? It's presumably referring to Paul himself. Now, we actually have a cool construction as he continues when he says, God knows, and now we have harpagenta. This is actually from harpazo, which means to snatch or to seize. It can be in either a positive or a negative sense. And this is, and it's a strong sixth principle part. The sixth principle part doesn't have the theta you might expect, like herpachthane, but it's herpagane. So this is actually an aorist participle passive, masculine, singular, accusative. And the referent is such a one, ton, toi uton, right after it. The participle is in predicate position. And after oida, I think it is expressing indirect discourse. It's one of the categories that predicate position participles can cover. So we translate, God knows that. It's almost like a hati clause. This is a little unusual, but it does occur in the New Testament fairly often. So he starts, and then he interrupts himself, and then he continues. So back at the beginning of the verse, I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or outside the body, I do not know. God knows that such a one was snatched until the third heaven. See? Now, somebody asked me what that means. Go ahead and ask me. You've raised an important question, but we don't have time to go into it right now, which means I don't know. See? There is actually, in the Jewish literature of the time, there is actually a talk of levels of heaven, like third heaven, seventh heaven, and so forth. So Paul, maybe just reflecting kind of a common way of speaking about things. I don't know, is this where the pretty nice angels dwell, but the really nice ones are higher? I don't know. Nobody knows. Kindly do not build anything upon it. If you do, I will send Dr. Bierman to fix you, or something like that. But grammatically, that's how it goes. If we take that predicate position participle as expressing indirect discourse, it's the that of what God knows. I know that. And then the referent to the participle becomes the subject of the translated that clause. That such a one was harpazoed, snatched, until the third heaven. And then he'll go on with more sort of cryptic comments. I mean, apparently if you're an apostle, not only do you suffer a lot, but you see remarkable things from God. So, questions, comments on verse 2. Yeah, Adam.
With the 14 years he talks about, would that line up with the 14 he mentions in Galatians?
That's a good question, whether or not, in Galatians 2:1, 14 years later, I went up to Jerusalem. You know, boy, see, there's, I'm shaking my head. There's a lot of loose chronological data connected there. I think this is normally attributed to the so-called silent period in Paul's ministry. Now, in Galatians, it depends on how you do the chronology, what that second visit was and how it corresponds in Acts. But it's a good question. I think the answer is people don't typically line that up. But it's January 3rd and I have a cold. And it would take me a while to figure it out. So would you work up like a two-page paper? Oh, wait, I don't have you in class this term. So I can't do that. I have no exousia over you. Good. Other questions? Okay. Excuse me. Verse 3. Kai oidaton toi uton anthropon. Here he does it again. Eta en somati eta choristu somatos uk oida hatheos oiden. And then we'll get verse 4:2. Hati her page eston paradeson kai ekusan areta remata ha uk exan anthropo lalesai. Verse 3. And I know such a man. Toi uton now is just modifying anthropos. I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. And then we'll just keep running it. God knows that. And now we have actually the aorist infinitive passive form of that same verb. So erpage. I mean, the corresponding form would be eluthe. It would go eluthein, eluthes, eluthe. That would be the third singular of the aorist indicative passive. So this is just aorist indicative passive, third singular of harpazo, but it's a strong sixth principal part. God knows that he was snatched into paradise, which presumably refers to the interim state, or as we often simply call it, heaven. Kind of like when Jesus says to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. I mean, it's apparently is assuming to that blessed rest of the soul while we're all waiting for the resurrection. So, and ekuzen, there's a nice form, easy enough, from akuo. He heard. Areta is just an adjective, and it means unspeakable or unutterable matters, remas, or words or things, which, now the relative pronoun there, ha, is neuter plural, and its antecedent is remata, which, uk exon. Now here we have it again. This is another participle. Look up at the first line of verse 1. We had u simferon, and now we have uk exon. This is from exeme, which means to be appropriate, to be fitting, to be lawful. This is actually the Pharisee's word in, like in Matthew. Is it lawful? See, there it's exestin. This is the neuter participle, present participle active. Again, neuter singular nominative, and you're supposed to supply the linking verb. Which it is not lawful to speak for a man. And now you make lalesai the it of it is not lawful, which to speak is not lawful for a man. So apparently, unlike this book, Heaven is for Real. Have you guys read this book, Heaven is for Real? It's all the rage, you know, yeah. Where this little boy purports to have died and gone to heaven, he comes back and reveals stuff. Apparently, Paul is of a different opinion. I mean, it's kind of interesting. It just kind of shows up here. So maybe what the little boy saw was fine, and he can talk about it. But I remain piously skeptical, to be quite honest. I tend not to trust children. Right? See? I mean, really, children are not very smart. Have you ever noticed? You know? So to be like a child is not to be innocent or smart or wise or something. It's to be helpless. That's what it means to be a child. It's to be fundamentally unable. So in other words, if you had said to the Apostle Paul, everything I ever needed to learn, I learned in kindergarten, he would say, that's really stupid. He would say, you're a modern person, aren't you? So, yeah. So. Okay, questions about 3 and 4. Again, this is not too bad, actually. We had this terrible, Bill, you were here half the time, most of the time. We had this terrible stretch of broken syntax and so forth in chapter 10 and 11 and 9. I mean, it was horrible. Now this is just kind of...
Do you think his audience knew he was talking about
himself? I don't know. Yeah. I think so, especially given what's coming on, because he's about to say, to keep me from exalting myself. Yeah. Maybe, remember they're hearing it sequentially, though. So maybe initially they're asking, I wonder who he's talking about here. And then it comes out clean in a couple of verses that he's actually talking about himself. So,
in verse 4, the paradeison, did you say that's the same word he uses for the criminal on the cross?
I think so. Yeah, let's pretend it's true until we look it up. Luke 23. Today you will be with me, right? Let's find it. Oh, yes, there it is. Luke 23, verse 43. And he said to him, truly to you I say, today with me you will be en to paradiso, right, in paradise. Right. So apparently this is one of the words that the New Testament can use. It can be used for a number of things. For instance, it can be used for the Garden of Eden, in Jewish literature, I think. But here it probably refers to what we typically call heaven. That is, life after death. While we await life after death, if I could say it that way. Okay. Good. Anything else on 3 and 4? We're just making all kinds of progress here? Okay, 5. Hipertu toi utu kaukesamai, hiperta hemau tu u kaukesamai, eme antais asthenais. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on behalf of myself, so hiper plus the genitive, u kaukesamai, I will not boast. Eme together often means except or unless. So you don't translate it if not. Sometimes you do, but most of the time it's except or unless. In the asthenias, weaknesses. And I'm guessing, there's the insertion marker there at the end of the verse, and you can see that some manuscripts, naturally enough, put mu, my weaknesses. A lot of variant readings are like that. You could guess it almost as scribes are copying. Isn't this interesting? So I'll boast on behalf of that one, but on myself, So it's a little mysterious. Again, most people think that Paul is talking about himself, and especially in light of the next couple of verses. So, and then kaukaomai is just a deponent verb. These are just future indicative middle deponents, right? So easy enough. All right, questions, comments? Man, in the new year, we are making complete progress. Verse 6. Angar theleso kaukesas thai, uk esamai afron, alethean gar ero, fedamai da, me tis ace eme la gisetai, hiper ha blepe me, e akue ti ex emu. And now this next phrase, I'll just leave it in verse 7. But notice the punctuation. Nestle Alon runs the sentence, kai te hyperbole ton apokalypseon. So we'll just leave it hanging there, and we'll come back to it. Okay. Verse 6. For if, in a clause that starts with eon, what mood of a verb would you expect? Subjunctive, very good. And that's what theleso is. It's from thelo. It could be a future indicative, actually, but it's the same form as the aorist subjunctive, active first singular. For if I wish to boast, kaukesasthai, that would be the aorist infinitive middle deponent. For if I wish to boast, uk esamai afron, I will not be a fool. Esamai is, you hardly ever see this form. It's the second principal part of eme. There's only two. There's eme and there's esomai, so it's deponent. I will not be a predicate nominative fool. And why would that be? For ero aletheon, right? Ero is from Lego. Beginning Greek students, what you're praying for without knowing it is that Greek will be regular and predictable. And the unfortunate thing is that Greek is a language, so it's completely irregular. So yeah, it's just a future indicative of Lego. For I will say the truth. So it's kind of, it must be, he must be saying something like this. Look, I could boast if I wanted to, and if I did, I'd be telling the truth. But I'm not going to do that. See, I'm not going to do that. See, rather, phaedomai de. This is from, it's from phaedomai. It's a deponent verb, and it means to spare someone, like spare you the trouble, spare you the agony, spare you the burden, something like that. But I am sparing. Now, may, and look at logisetai, it's a subjunctive. May plus a subjunctive can by itself express a negative purpose clause, and we translate lest, right? So, but I am sparing, presumably you, lest tis someone reckon, it's from logizomai, toward me. Now hiper plus the accusative, which means not on behalf of, but above. Above what he sees me or hears something from me. So I don't, in other words, I don't want you to think more highly than of me than you actually should. Something like that, see. So I'm not going to boast in these special experiences. In fact, as now the passage gets very familiar, he's about to narrate how God, in order to keep himself from exalting himself, actually sent some sort of, there's the famous phrase, thorn, I like the term splinter, actually, splinter in the flesh to keep Paul from becoming too self-inflated. But we'll stop here, and we'll talk about where that first phrase in verse 7 goes. It almost has to go with verse 6, but a lot of people take it with verse 7, and we'll talk about that next time. So, very good. Thank you very much.